Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 26th on the West Coast and October the 27th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. We would also like to welcome those who may be listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network. You folks in the U.S. military, welcome to the show. Also, those listening on blogtalkradio.com. Well, I had 2 hours of the fastest radio I think I've ever done today on Drew Raines' A Marine's Disquisition. And we got to talk about the topic that we're going to be discussing with tonight's guest. Before we actually bring him on, I'd like to read something to you. And I'm going to reference this in a little bit different way. I'm not reading the whole article, but this is something I found over the weekend. Very interesting. This was published originally in the San Francisco Chronicle. Entitled, Despite Big Shortage of Vaccine, Many People Not Considered High Risk Line Up for Needle Anyway. This is written by Steve Rubenstein, Charles Burris, Suzanne Harrell, and Aaron Hallisey, Chronicle staff writers. Flu shots, often a test of bravery, became a test of character Wednesday, and not everyone was passing. The line for flu shots in a San Francisco drugstore stretched past the perfume, deodorant, and candy counters. Many of the people standing in it were middle-aged folks with sheepish grin or expressions. After roughly half the U.S. supply of flu vaccine for the year was pulled back Tuesday because of possible contamination, authorities asked healthy middle-aged adults to skip their shots voluntarily. The idea is to save the vaccine for people over 65 or under 2, pregnant women, nursing home residents, and healthcare workers. It wasn't working that way at the Walgreens on Polk Street and Broadway. About a third of the people in line seemed to be healthy, middle-aged folks. The company that runs the shot program at the drugstore, Maxim Healthcare, said it was going to abide by the rationing, but enforcing it was another matter. I don't want to be a policeman, I just want to give the shots, said Patricia O'Sullivan, a registered nurse who was jabbing the upper arms of all comers at the end of the cosmetics counter for $20 a pop. I wouldn't want to not give a shot to someone who wants it, she added, but I wouldn't want someone not to get one that really needed it. Dozens of people took numbers and waited in line for their date with the needle. Some were middle-aged and said they were at risk or had old parents at home or were about to leave on trips to risky faraway places like Italy. I'm leaving a name out here of San Jose said that she was getting her shot because it was better to be safe and that voluntarily skipping the shots was a personal decision. It's my body, she said. I might as well give it a chance to get one up on whatever's out there this year. Everybody has to do what they feel most comfortable doing, she added. Several of the young and middle-aged people in line declined to answer a reporter's questions, covered their faces, and walked away. Others said they were entitled to the vaccine because of exceptional circumstances. Now, there's more to this article. I wanted to show something rather significant. The article was not written this week or this month or even this year. It goes back all the way to Thursday, October 7th, 2004. And the unnamed person, Meg Nyman, daughter of Dr. Henry Nyman. With that, I'd like to bring on tonight's guest, He is a naturopath, let's say a naturopathic doctor. He has written many articles, written some books, actually. We hope to discuss those on some future shows. He's recently published Charles Higgins' book, Horrors of Vaccination, and he has his own show on Republic Broadcasting Network and on Rents.com, the story behind the story. My good friend and our good friend here on Evident Footprints Now and at BBSRadio.com, Dr. Atru Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Don. It's a pleasure to hear your voice again. Yeah, that article in the San Francisco Chronicle back in 2004, quite amazing, absolutely.
Yes, and isn't it interesting that they happened to get the doctor's daughter to give her 2 cents in the article?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Do you think that was chance?
Of course not.
Yeah, this is another example of the convenient witness that they have.
Yeah, and just parenthetically on that story, Don, the 2004 vaccine shortage was primarily because of Chiron, the Emeryville, California supplier of seasonal flu vaccine. It mentioned the article about the contamination, but that is not the story behind the story. The contamination, as you go and review the FDA findings, they found that there were live viruses that didn't fit in the vaccine antigen structure, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was 2004, and they shut down that whole run of Chiron, which made the seasonal flu vaccine a shortage. Well, it just strikes me as peculiar in the extreme that now here in 2009, the World Health Organization has actually approved vaccines with live viruses in them for the first time. So in 2004, they were pulling them from the shelves and not allowing them to be injected because of the live virus structure, but now it's okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a genius when it comes to these matters, but if I were just to use a little bit of common sense, let's say, are you as smart as a fifth grader, common sense, I think I would say that this is very dangerous to do that. Would I be wrong in saying that?
Well, there's very definitely a eugenics program at work here, and my guest on my radio show today, the gentleman is tied to Lyndon LaRue's staff there in Washington, D.C., was very eloquent in explaining and elaborating on the Club of Rome and basically the international bankers in the city of London and their agenda. It's called Agenda 21, ladies and gentlemen, where it does, in fact, call for the reduction of the Earth's population by as many as 4 to 5 billion. That's a billion with a B. Now, if that Agenda 21 and the United Nations elite is truly behind that, the question becomes how are they going to best implement it, okay? Would biological weaponry be a resource to look at? I would submit it would be. And what better way to disguise a potentially disastrous biological weapon attack as a seasonal or a unique novel influenza outbreak?
Yes. Now, just as a review for the listening audience and any new listeners, I sort of stayed out of the fray. You know, I was so busy on my Three Stooges Go to Washington research that I really didn't have time to get into the Dr. Orly Tate's birth certificate lawsuit and this Jane Burgermeister story was coming around, making its rounds, we'll say, and I started noticing all the strange things that were happening in regard to that. And then I heard about the Tim Vodder lawsuit, and I began looking at these things very carefully. Of course, I exposed Orly Tate's husband working with Daylight Chemical Systems and hand-in-hand with Novartis, the patent holder of the bird flu vaccine. And then the Vodder lawsuit and the connections to Affymetrics in Santa Clara, California, the genome chip manufacturer. And I stayed out of this dispute over Dr. Henry Nyman until really this weekend. Although I had done some sporadic research over the past 2 weeks, I really spent most of Saturday and part of Sunday going over some things that I had found, and I did find what I was looking for. And I've come to the conclusion, this is my opinion, but I would say the facts on various websites, the number of blog posts that I have read, and the outright lies that are being told in an attempt to debunk your research and the research of Dr. Bill Deagle, Alexander S. Jones, and others who have, even Lorraine Day, I would have to say, is intentional, misleading, and it caused me to look for the money, to follow the money trail. And I did find it. And that's a company called Ligand Pharmaceuticals. This is a company that not many people are familiar with. I have mentioned it on a few shows in a very brief manner, in a very superficial manner. But I found what I was looking for this weekend, and it's a series of patents on what are called protein ligand detection using polypeptide-induced monoclonal receptors. I understand the technology, but for the sake of my listening audience, and you are the expert in these areas, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the link I sent you or any of the documentation. I'm presuming you got the email I sent. Lord knows the way they're intercepting my email, it's quite possible that you haven't gotten it. But
I have not gotten it, Don. My computers have been incredibly under attack and hacked. My website, as I told you over the weekend, has been a source of a constant hacking attack. You know, whenever these things happen, you know we're getting close to some very ticklish subjects.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, in fact, emailing a series of posts out to my circle, they've responded with a very strange error messages coming through, and it's all gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
So no, to answer your question, I did not get your email.
Okay, well, if I can read just a couple of things here to give you the basis for what this research is. This is licensed out to the pharmaceutical companies, and on the basis of hundreds of millions of dollars of profits, Ligand Pharmaceuticals receives a royalty as it jumps up another 100 million or so. Their percentage rises. The applicant on this particular patent, which is filed on the World Intellectual Property Organization website, is Progenix Inc. in the U.S. On John J. Hopkins Drive in San Diego, California. The inventor, Henry Lee Nyman. The agent is Douglas E. Olson at Lion & Lion in Los Angeles. The title, Protein Ligand Detection Using Polypeptide-Induced Monoclonal Receptors. The abstract is a method for characterizing a biological sample for the presence of an oncoprotein ligand is described. A biological sample assayed for the presence of an oncoprotein ligand such as serum, a cell extract, amniotic fluid, urine, or urine concentrate is admixed in a liquid solution containing anti-oncoprotein receptor molecules. The admixture so made is maintained for a sufficient time period for an immunocomplex to form between an oncoprotein ligand and receptor molecule, antigen-antibody complex. The presence of a complex is thereafter determined. And looking under the description, they go into great, great detail talking about extracting material out of tumors, cancer tumors, and they go into all the different types of cancers. And this is the basis on which Ligand Pharmaceuticals was founded. But this goes into retroviruses, and the RNA genetic material, and then the there's a discussion of what happens with the DNA afterwards. It's shocking to read this, I have to tell you. I cannot imagine, and this date, this patent was filed, I suppose the date is probably important. This continuation of a patent was filed April 16th, 1987, but it goes back, I think, all the way to 1984 when the series of patents began, August 17th of 1984. Take that back. August 17th, 1983, they say it was abandoned. So they've been trying to do this for some 25, 26 years at least. And, it goes through every hoop you can imagine, that anyone would want to apply such technology or methodologies to. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, this is a license to the pharmaceutical companies. So, therefore, you have a motive for Henry Nyman promoting people getting vaccinations.
Right.
He makes money on every vaccine sold.
It would appear so, and... Not only that, if you really dig a little deeper into that patent and show where it was actually applied,
mm-hmm.
you're traced to Harvard University. You're traced to the biogenetics labs there in Cambridge, Massachusetts. You're also it's not a very far stretch of the imagination to see how they could actually use this technology to custom design specific retroviruses, ladies and gentlemen, that can be lethal in certain gene pools, okay? Where, you know, depending on which type of genetic structures you're looking to preserve, it would cause nothing more than a sniffle, or maybe not even that, it just would be totally inactive. But on certain DNA structures, a virus could be totally and completely virulent and lethal.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really does go back into an extension of Nazi Germany and the eugenics program. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. They talk about the testing on animals in some cases. I mean, it's a long piece, okay? It's very detailed. At the end of the piece, there is a notice, the United States government has rights in this invention pursuant to Public Health Service Contract NOI-CP-41009, Public Health Service Grants CA-38160 and CA-25803.
Yeah.
So that pretty much connects the dots on this one.
Well, and also if you go onto Dr. Nyman's own website, Reason Labs website, where they have basically formed a company that tracks the outbreak, okay? The CDC and WHO have basically said that his computer models are much more accurate than theirs are, so they are contracting with him. And this is, again, going back into Pittsburgh newspapers' business section, showing the multi-millions of dollars manufactured for the tracking of the virus and graphing out its potential genome mutations into something much more virulent. So no doubt about it, Dr. Henry L. Nyman is definitely involved in the players who are making this virus and this pandemic happen. Okay. Now, your listeners may or may not know this, Don, and it's amazing because this kind of went under the wire over this last weekend. Friday, after close of business in most instances, our usurper-in-chief, Barack Obama, of non-natural-born status, signed in something that to me is just really, really ominous. He signed a declaration, a formal announcement, that the pandemic now is, quote, a national emergency, a national emergency declaration. What does this really mean? That, you know, first of all, he signed it at a late hour Friday and actually didn't release it to the press until Saturday, a weekend story. So it really didn't get much coverage. But let me just share with you what the verbatim declaration says. And I just got this copy myself yesterday, Sunday. Let me just, I need to read it in verbatim because it's only a page.
Okay.
Declaration of a national emergency with respect to the 2009 H1N1 influenza pandemic. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. On April 26, 2009, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, parentheses, the Secretary, first declared a public health emergency under Section 319 of the Public Health Service Act, 42 U.S. Code, etc., etc., in response to the 2009 H1N1 influenza virus. The Secretary has renewed that declaration twice, on July 24, 2009, and then on October 1, 2009. Now, when the Health and Human Services Secretary issues a public health emergency, they basically are suspending any of their FDA rules and requirements for drugs and or vaccines to be tested, okay? Now, that's under the scope of the of the Health and Human Services and the FDA. So, Obama goes on to declare, as a nation, we have prepared at all levels of government and as individuals and communities, taking unprecedented steps to counter the emerging pandemic. Nevertheless, the 2009 H1N1 pandemic continues to evolve. The rates of illness continue to rise rapidly within many communities across the nation, and the potential exists for the pandemic to overburden health care resources in some localities. Now, again, this is dated the 23rd. He officially released it on Saturday the 24th. But at the middle of September and then to the 1st of October, the primary vaccine, ladies and gentlemen, that was issued through MedImmune, the company MedImmune, is a live virus nasal spray. The pandemic flu virus vaccine called FluMist, the pandemic version, in its product circular, it actually declares that the recipient of this vaccine will be basically a carrier of live viruses for as much as 2 to 3 weeks after vaccination. In other words, they are shedding live viruses on door handles, on people they shake hands with, if they're shopping in the supermarket and they handle something and put it back on the shelf that's contaminated. And in a nutshell, if you want to spread a pandemic and cause a pandemic, put out 10 million doses of a live virus that's going to be spread exponentially. Now, that's what's happened leading up to this, now the national emergency declaration. Now it gets to the meat part, Don. Thus, it says, in recognition of the continuing progression of the pandemic, and in further preparation as a nation. In other words, we haven't done enough yet. We've got this media blitz being planned on every state of the union, being a flu fighter, being, you know, getting your pandemic vaccine. We are taking additional steps to facilitate our response. Who are you talking about, President Obama? Who's we? Who's our response? Who's your team? Who's really, who's pulling your strings? Who's the person behind the curtain? Now, therefore, I, Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution. Oh, please. Isn't that funny?
Wait, they left the constitutional provision out of his candidacy in Denver.
Yeah, but now he's hiding behind the Constitution and the laws of the United States, including Sections 201 and 301 of the National Emergencies Act, which I pulled that, and I'm telling you, it is absolutely shocking, and consistent with Section 1135 of the Social Security Act, as amended, do hereby find and proclaim that, given that the rapid increase in illness across the nation may overburden healthcare resources. It hasn't yet. It's only a may, right?
Yeah, I'm following you.
And that the temporary waiver of certain standard federal requirements may be warranted. Okay? And that the temporary waiver of certain standard federal requirements may be warranted in order to enable the U.S. healthcare facilities to implement emergency operation plans. The 2009 H1N1 influenza pandemic in the United States constitutes a national emergency. Now, what does that mean? When he declares that it's now a national emergency, what additional powers does he take upon himself? Well, in 1973, a report was issued by the United States Senate. A select committee was formed under the direction of the chairman, Frank Church, senator from Idaho. This was the report was issued. It's called the Report of the Special Committee on the termination of the national emergency provisions in the United States Senate. This committee had researched this and basically was advising and counseling the Senate and the House to cancel the statutes allowing the President of the United States to declare national emergencies. And I've read this entire document. Don, I'm telling you, it should have been implemented. It wasn't. There were four national emergencies declared prior to Frank Church's committee being convened. And after that, in 1973, there's never been another national emergency declared until now. Okay, this is very important to understand. Let me read this to you. This is the foreword. This is the preamble to their findings. Quote, since March 9th, 1933, the United States has been in a state of declared national emergency. In fact, there are now in effect four presidentially proclaimed states of national emergency. In addition to the national emergency declared by President Roosevelt in 1933, that was to stop the bank runs of the Great Depression, ladies and gentlemen, There were also the national emergency proclaimed by President Truman on December 16, 1950, during the height of the Korean conflict, and the states of national emergency declared by President Nixon, by the way, on advice of Dr. Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski, on March 23, 1970, and again on August 15, 1971. You see, Kissinger and Brzezinski wanted Nixon to basically take onto himself a national emergency status going into a flu pandemic back then. And the Senate rose up and said, wait a minute. The 1973 committee basically analyzed the powers on the Emergency Act, and it was when Nixon was impeached, it became a moot point, removed from office. And there's never been another national emergency declared. But here's what the committee found by reviewing the laws and the statutes. These emergency proclamations give force to 470 provisions of federal law. Get this. These hundreds of statutes delegate to the president extraordinary powers. Powers ordinarily exercised only by the Congress, which affect the lives of American citizens in a host of all-encompassing manners. These vast ranges of powers, taken together, confer enough authority to rule the country without reference to normal constitutional processes. Are you getting this, ladies and gentlemen? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Under the powers delegated by these emergency statutes, the president may seize personal property, organize and control the means of all production, seize commodities, assign military forces, institute martial law, seize and control all transportation and communications, regulate the operation of private enterprise, that means take over all businesses, ladies and gentlemen, restrict travel, and in a plethora of particular ways, completely control the lives of all American citizens.
And he uses the premise of the Constitution, even though, and I repeat myself, the constitutional provision, the declaration that goes into the candidacy as a member of the Democratic Party at the Denver Convention in 2008, which was retracted from the document and signed by Nancy Pelosi, is unconstitutional. In other words, it was a legality. And now he's going back, declaring that he has constitutional right. The guy doesn't even have a driver's license. The guy can't show us a valid passport. The guy cannot show us valid school records. The guy cannot show us a certificate live birth from two people born in this country, or that he was born at least to one American on the land of this country. He can't show that either, and he's going to pass these laws. This is insane.
By the stroke of a pen, this became the fifth declared national emergency. By the stroke of a pen, Friday, this man became dictator Heil Hitler, Führer Obama. Okay, that's the bottom line. He has the rule of law behind him, according to this research by Frank Church's committee, to do all of these things that we only have dreamt would happen in Nazi Germany, not in America.
Yeah, but the use of the Constitution is absurd. And any reference to the Constitution, his existence as the long-legged Mac Daddy from New Guinea is all he can prove.
This so, is, so again, let's look at the reality of this, Don. By the CDC and Barack Obama's own declaration, we have just over 1,000 deaths to date from this H1N1 pandemic flu. Let's put this
I'm
in
glad you brought that up.
We have, by the CDC's own declarations on their website, they declare that the seasonal flu kills 36,000 people every year. We don't see a national emergency being declared on a seasonal flu vaccine.
Now, and they say, if I may interject something, they say that the first death occurred on April 29th, 2009, and here we are in 2 days, we will be 6 months from that time period. That means on a monthly basis, we are 66% below. I mean, you're talking 3,000 people a month. We're much below that over a 6 month period. If we were to go another 6 months without doing anything other than what they're doing right now, you can expect a total of 2,000 people to have died from the swine flu. And they're basically saying any disease where someone dies is as a result of the swine flu. There's no documentation to that effect. People I know, I've talked to people who have been lied to and told that they have the swine flu when they know darn well they don't have it.
It's just a regular sinus infection. Here's something that's really telling as well. Here in Utah, you may have if you follow college football, Texas Christian University came into Provo and just thumped the BYU Cougars, 38-7. Cougars look terrible. In post-game interviews on the sports channels here in Utah, it was brought out that over half of the Cougar football team had been suffering from during the week before, had been diagnosed with the swine flu, and absolutely positive confirmations, so they were told. And on game day, over half of the team was still feeling the effects. They were sluggish. Many of them still had lingering fevers. They were basically offering that we weren't at our best because half the team was sick. And they interviewed the team trainers as to, why all the team got sick, and he made this statement. He said, I don't understand why we're hit this hard when we took every precaution. Back in August, we lined up and got everybody vaccinated. What does that tell you? I about fell off my chair when I heard him say that. Yeah, let's see, the whole football team back in August, before the season even starts, line up and get the H1N1 vaccine, whatever that was, whether it's an intramuscular shot or the flu mist, I don't know, but they got special provisions. What does that tell you? Either it gave them the virus, the swine flu, now, or they caught it and it just didn't work. Either way, it's a failure.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And we've heard stories not too long ago. And this was, again, I think it was Nancy Snyderman may have said it, or Sebelius may have said it, Health and Human Services Director, that 800,000 people in New York City contracted the swine flu, get this, back in the spring was the term. And then the next day, they added another 200,000 additional cases. They're saying 1 million people came down with it.
Well, then why should they even worry about a pandemic? They didn't all die.
Well,
they've already got natural immunity.
The problem with that is the people in New York knew nothing about it.
Of course.
This is how ridiculous this is. And I've had Michael Anthony on the show two or three times since that announcement was made, and he lives in New York, and he said that's the first he's heard of it, my reference to it. So,
well, New York City is a big place. I mean, no, but, the point is, this is all overblown propaganda of the highest order, something you would expect out of the Third Reich of Nazi Germany and Goebbels. This is classic Goebbels.
Yes,
Joseph Goebbels,
absolutely.
Information. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's all a smokescreen for a takeover of martial law. And we've been saying that. Now to have this joker in the White House come up and sign this off as a national emergency, the whole pretext is to gain these dictatorial powers. And make no mistake, it's done now. He has them.
Well, he's the president of the corporation, and we don't belong to the corporation. Let's remember that. That's my statement. True, we have a call. Would you like to take a call?
Absolutely.
Okay, Barry from California. Welcome to Evident Footprints. Question or comment for our guest, Dr. True Ott?
Yes, Dr. True. I was listening to another doctor on the internet. I can't think of her name right now. But she also said that the 32,000 you said every year from the regular flu?
I think it might have been Sherry Benpenny. Yeah.
Anyway, she says part of that is people that have pneumonia. They lumped that in there. That's why the number is so high. So it's not all of them. Not the whole number is from the flu. Part of it is pneumonia, dying from pneumonia also.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and there's again, it's inflated. Every number is inflated. That's not debatable. The reason why it's inflated is, again, to create fear and apprehension and get the seniors especially to line up for their flu shots every year, which enriches, again, the pharmaceutical cartel. There's no doubt about that, but the same inflation is also proven to be true in the H1N1 story. You know, they ought to do a better job of inflating the numbers, is what I'm saying. There's 38,000 highway fatalities across this country a year. 38,000. We don't see Barack Obama issuing a national emergency for highway fatalities, do we?
Yeah, we don't see the pharmaceutical companies developing a vaccine to prevent traffic accidents either.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is absolutely a smokescreen for something much, much worse, a grab of power. That's the way it's shaping up. Now with this, again, him signing the emergency act, declaring this a national emergency, the play has been exposed, basically. His hand has been dealt.
I was listening to Rusty Humphrey talk about it, what he just signed Friday, and he said he used the WWMD. And people going, WWMD, what would Mao do? That's what Obama goes by. What would Mao do?
Yep.
You know, from China. Because that's one of his heroes.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
I think Larry Sinclair is another one of his heroes, too.
I just can't believe that this is happening to us, to our country. Now he's going to be going to Copenhagen in December. And I think Dr. Deagle said it's going to take 2/3 of the Senate to approve it, even though he wants to sign it. So don't you think that people need to start calling the senators and congressmen and tell them, no, we don't want it? I mean, what's wrong with our country? People should be on the streets. I mean.
Well, see, the other thing that you're missing is, and what with all due respect to Dr. Deagle, with this emergency declaration, he doesn't need the Senate to ratify that treaty. He can sign it, and it's law based on the findings of this committee in 1973. He can make the declaration. Look, I did this under a national emergency structure, and so I don't need anything to be ratified. He gives him that full range of dictatorial powers until and unless the people stop and say this is. Again, it usurps the authority of the Senate and the Congress in every way.
Well, they committed treason when they let this Joker sit in the White House, and they should be held accountable. All the whole lot of them. I don't care. Vote all of them out.
And let's start all over. You know, I mean, my daughter, my granddaughter, my great granddaughter. There's no hope anymore for our kids.
Well, you know, my guest today on the RBN radio, you can go back to RBN on the story behind the story and listen to the archives. You know, he and the Lyndon LaRouche crowd, I got to tell you, they've got the answer, in my opinion, and that's basically to not only to disenfranchise the Fed, but got to do it even more. They've got to tie the federal government into issuing their own lines of credit to the banks again, to put them under the Treasury charter where it should be. Not under these false George Soros manipulated derivative stocks, but, you know, we've got to be able to expand the GNP based on free-flowing credit backed by the government, not by a private group of banksters. And when you do that, America will be put back to work tomorrow. Okay?
Doctor, I listen to you every day. I listen to the archives every day. I signed up for it because I listened to Dr. Deagle, and that's how I found out about you. That's how I found out about Don. I listen to a lot of people, and I'm very informed. I'm trying to tell people. I'm trying to wake people up. And sometimes I cry in front of them because I love my country. I love the way it was when I was a kid, and it's not like that anymore. And I want that for my kids, you know. And people are waking up, but it's not fast enough in my eyes.
You know, Barry, in my opinion, the country is the people. It's not these thugs. It's not the international military-industrial complex, or the bankers, or the pharmaceutical companies, or the oil companies, or these traders in Washington. It's the people. That's the country. And that's what we have to get back. And the rest will take care of itself. This is not as big a problem as we make it when we do nothing about it. And as far as voting is concerned, voting is corrupt. Don't expect to cast your vote and get an accurate count. They've pulled this off probably 100 years. They've been doing this. And
I just got one more thing to ask, Don. When are you going to finish the Three Stooges Goes to Washington?
That's going to be in the next issue of the Idaho Observer.
Next month?
The third stooge is Hillary Clinton, yes.
But, yeah, is that going to be next week?
No, next month.
Next month, okay.
The new issue is being sent out as we speak, so.
And just one more thing. Dr. Ott, I love your show. It's awesome. It's opened my eyes. Just amazing, the people you have on there. Thank you for both you guys, for both shows.
Well, thank you. He's got an amazing guest on next Wednesday.
Yes, indeed. This coming Wednesday.
Yeah.
The after tomorrow.
Yours truly. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you guys, I told you this, Don. I've called you before. You guys are a great team together. You guys just play off each other. I mean, it's just awesome. And the guests that you have on your show, Dr. They just blend. And that's beautiful. And that's what you want.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're trying to bring a host of guests. The ones I have lined up, if they come through, we'll just continue to keep rattling the cage a little bit more. So thank you for that.
But the thing is, people need to see beyond what they're seeing and need to look deeper, and they need to listen to shows like this to understand, because we've been caught in that matrix, you know, that paradigm. And people need to get out of that spider web that we're caught in and see really what's going on.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I appreciate your comments, Barry. Let me just say that, you know, we're both, the reason I get along with True is he's a man of truth. He's putting the truth out. That's my intention. And people get attracted to the truth. When they hear it enough and often enough, they gravitate in that direction. We have millions of listeners to this show around the world. Millions. You would be amazed at how many people. The numbers are up there with Rush Limbaugh, George Norrie, the big shows. Okay? We're not selling advertising on the show. This is divine providence. This is God behind
Amen.
Us. Okay? And we mustn't lose sight of the fact that we are in a battle. It's a spiritual battle between good and evil. And it's a universal battle. It's not something that's particular just to the earth. This, things like this are going on throughout the universe. And we have an obligation. Those of us who are awake, those of us who are paying attention, have an obligation to lay the groundwork for what is to come, because there will be a battle. You can rest assured there will be a battle. And they know that, you see. They have to do all these things to us in secret, and I often say this, because they don't want us to know our true power. And all we have to do is look within ourselves and take responsibility. It's really not all that difficult. You love your country. I love my country. Dr. Ott loves his country. And most of the listeners, even some of the intelligence agency people, love their country. Many of them in the intelligence agencies that monitor this show, that record it, that transcribe it, love their country. Not all of them, but many of them do. And they rejoice in the message that's coming out. At night after night, Monday through Friday, with all the guests that we have on this show, I get constant feedback from the listeners who are rejoicing in the fact that they're hearing the truth. So what can you do? Don't call your congressman. Call your family. Call your friends. Call your neighbors. Get them to do the same thing. Bring more people to shows like this. I'm not saying just my show. There are many good shows out there. Lead people to the truth, and they'll find their way. They may not like what they see, but I can guarantee you if enough of us do that, we can tip the balance, and we can change this.
We win at the end, though. That's what the Bible says. We win at the end, and they lose.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
It says you'll tell the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from the, take the salve off your eyes and take the wax out of your ears, and let the truth come in, and it will set you free.
That's right. Well, Barry, thank you for your call. I appreciate it, and I'm sure Dr. Ott does.
Yes, again, thanks, Barry. Very good call.
You guys, can I say one more thing? You guys need to check out Eli James and look him up, and you might want to have him on your show. Pastor Eli James. I don't know if you know him.
Yes, I've heard him. Rick Adams has him on RBN quite a bit. He's very good.
I read his articles, and they're awesome. If you go to his site on prophecy, awesome. Awesome stuff. He exposes a lot of stuff about the Zionists.
Yes.
So,
well,
these are
wannabe.
You guys.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, thank you, Barry.
All right, God bless you guys, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you too.
Good evening.
Well, True, there you go. We have a listener that's called in before. He's getting the message. He's passionate about the country and about doing something. We need more people like that speaking out, not afraid to speak out.
Right, you know, it's such a stretch of the imagination for them to even get away with. I said, you know, the Club of Rome and the City of London, the House of Rothschild, to get away with this stuff, to put out the information that there's this terrible global warming, to even submit the idea that America needs to be deindustrialized and then tax us, the citizens, to pay these third world countries for the privilege of having us deindustrialized. It's all just an absolute joke. You know, the carbon dioxide emissions, you know, the plants of this world, that's what they breathe. They don't breathe oxygen, they breathe carbon dioxide. They emit, you know, oxygen out of their respiration process.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're emitting all these carbon dioxide emissions, that ought to be good for the green planet.
What about depleted uranium?
Well, that's a whole other issue and another story, but you bet. It continues to be used in our theaters of operation, you know, as a munition. It ought to be outlawed as a war crime, because when it does strike, let's define it for the listeners that may not know. The when you refine the uranium, ladies and gentlemen, for nuclear power plants, the enriched uranium goes to the power plant. The tailings, the fallout that it's not enriched any longer, goes back. It's radioactive material that's very dense, and when you smelter it down into a projectile, whether it's a bullet or a shell or a 50 caliber machine gun, it doesn't matter. This munition becomes much denser than lead, and when it it's fired and it when it hits a tank or an armored personnel carrier or falls as a bomb, it literally creates a mini nuclear explosion. It's much more damaging than a regular lead bullet, and it causes the area to become radioactive. It's not nearly as much as a full-scale nuclear bomb would be, but make no mistake, it causes radioactivity. And it causes people that come in contact with it to be become ill. There's genetic deformities. The hospitals in Iraq are loaded now with deformed children. Many cancers are, it's off the chart from where it was before the 2003 invasion, even the bombings before that. So, a war crime? Oh, absolutely. It shouldn't, it's actually been outlawed by the Geneva Convention to begin with. I mean, this is a form of a nuke. A nuclear attack, but
yes.
You know, it escapes most people's attention.
Now, I understand that depleted uranium has a half-life of 4.5 billion years?
At least. Well, you know, it's either a million or a billion. It just doesn't go away. It contaminates the water, the soil. It's turning Iraq and Afghanistan, and even when the U.S. and NATO troops bombed Serbia, there's still a lot of radioactivity there in Bosnia and the Serbian region.
And that gets carried into the atmosphere, too, doesn't it? And then travels around the world.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Well, you know, this is the sort of insanity that has to stop. Obviously, you know, has gone way too far. And I come back to this recurring theme of spiritual warfare. This is literally the battle between good and evil on this planet.
And, well, it's just you know, it's a matter of just either we defend humanity and the right of the individual to make the determination of their own free will, or is it a matter of abject slavery and destruction of the human experience. I mean, that's really what it's all about, Don.
Yeah. Now, we've got 27 countries in the EU right now. The Czechoslovakian president didn't like the deal that was presented, and he balked at it. And within a matter of a few days, he was able to iron out the differences. So Czechoslovakia is, for all intents and purposes, part of the EU. And we have people in Europe criticizing what's going on here in America, yet we still have arms. And that's the difference between us and over there. There are people waking up, despite what people in Europe think about us. Now, we'll all agree, the listeners to the show will agree, that the majority of people are asleep. But you're not going to count on those people anyway. So we have to be able to mobilize and use the resources that we have. We have brains. They haven't, as long as you haven't gotten the flu vaccine and absorbed ligands and the effects of the coordinated bonding that occurs as the thimerosal goes into your brain, you still have your wits about you. And, you know, we often talk about thinking from the heart, in other words, talking to God and listening to God, and that's accomplished through the heart, not through the mind, not right. through the vehicle that has been saturated with fear your whole life, through the propaganda and the education and the distorted organized religion and all the other means, the toxins that they put in our food and in our water and in medications. You know, we have to start doing something. We really do. I know you sense that urgency, and I'm not trying to put fear out there. That's not the point. You can hear the concern in people's voices when they call into shows and ask, what can we do? What can we do? We've been talking about these things for a number of years. 3 years ago, I began talking about the massive embezzlement and corruption that was going on Wall Street and in the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury and in Washington, D.C. And people said that $1 trillion was an absurd amount of money, and that it was a fairy tale. They banty those figures around on a daily basis. They're now talking about quadrillions of dollars. I brought up the real estate corruption long before people had their houses foreclosed under the auspices of bad credit or not making their payments. That's always been a problem. They've always been able to flip properties from one place to another. What people didn't know was the international scope of this, that foreign countries and foreign banks were being given huge portfolios with thousands of properties in them. They didn't pay attention to that. We warned about these flu pandemics and vaccinations and the drugs that they're putting in the food and things that they're planning on putting in the water supplies, like in Irvine, California, for instance, where they can indiscriminately select a house and insert a poison into your water because the pipes have been retrofitted to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the game being played with the oil industries as they close down well after well after well. We've been screaming out for alternative energy, and they use these terms like conspiracy theorists whenever we complain about anything. Yet they're the ones engaging in the pedophilia, the abduction of children, the murder of children, for films, for purposes of blackmail, or their just to gratify their sadistic perversions. We've talked about Satanism. We've talked about the secret societies. All these things are coming to light, and people are starting to see that we've been telling the truth all along, haven't we?
Oh yes, indeed. And you know, I talked on the show about this Lord Monckton and his message, and you know. After the show was over, a fellow called me up and said, check this out. And, I must admit I needed to vet him a little bit deeper. But he's a knight of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, of the highest order. There's the Knights of Malta, then there's the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, which is basically the Jesuit arm of the instigators of rebellion, okay? And, I think he's over here fomenting so much of discord that, I just can't trust him anymore.
Mm-hmm. It reeks of Tavistock, to tell you the truth. Everybody jumps on these people they know nothing about. They come out and right away, oh, did you hear what so-and-so said? This is what we have to do. They're ready to jump on a bandwagon of a total stranger from another country.
Glenn Beck had him on his show Friday and basically polished his boots and licked his behind. I mean, without giving him proper vetting, I don't know. He talks well. I mean, of course, the exposing Al Gore's lunacy is all part of the game, all important part of the process. But which path is he leading us down to is the big question.
Well, maybe he's setting himself up for a Nobel Prize. It seems you can do it pretty much for nothing. In fact, it's a foregone conclusion that you can get one.
Yeah. I found one in my Cracker Jack box, and I sent it back. But $1.4 million tax-free would be pretty good right now.
Well, I began calling it the Nobel Pizza Prize, and I modified it after a couple of days and called it the Nobel Peppers Pizza Surprise,
or the Nobels in the belfry.
Here's the thing: most people know that this is absolutely absurd, and yet the media goes on like this is normal. Like we're supposed to worship this,
right? It's your. Look who they gave it to a few years back. I mean, Al Gore for his the Science Award for what? For an absolutely bogus presentation funded by the Presidio and Comrade Gorbachev. But that's who's really behind this, Don, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's absolutely attack on America's greatness and America's might. To the crap and trade.
that's a great term. Well, we're about out of time, True. I wanted to give you the opportunity to give a closing message, but if you would reiterate any websites you feel people should go to seek some backup information to support the things you're saying or things they can do for some solutions.
Yeah, Don, I just sent you off the documents we just discussed. I don't know if you've looked at your emails or anything. Hopefully, if you got them, you can still read them. I'm, like I said, I've been hacked,
I haven't received anything from you. I am getting some email, but not gotten anything from you for quite a while. So
really, well, I sent it off just tonight. I sent it also off to Ken Adachi. He's told me he's creating a dedicated page on Educate Yourself, just with cataloging all of my papers and writings, and especially this one. I think it's really important to show how this emergency powers declaration, this national emergency, plays in to complete and total martial law. The stage has been set, ladies and gentlemen. The scripts have been written, and the curtain is rising. This is a play entitled Bring America to Its Knees and Make It a Third World Country. starring Barack Obama and George Soros and the Rothschild House. That's the name of the play. You know, the question is, will it continue to play on uninterrupted, or will the stage catch fire and the act be disrupted? Okay, it's like a fellow comes and knocks on your door. We talked about this on my show tonight too. And, you know, the guy comes out, you know, answers the door, and it's a nice looking gentleman. But he's dressed in black, and you look at him and say, "You're a stranger. Who are you?" And then, without saying a word, he pulls out a ski mask, puts it over his face, and then pulls out a .38 caliber and puts it into your ribs, and then proceeds to rob your house. Okay, right now we're at the point of the ski mask. It's being put on, and the gun is starting to come out now. Do we let this usurper come into the house and rob us?
Yeah, I've used that example. Yeah, exactly.
So I guess that's all I can say tonight.
Well, your show airs Monday through Friday on Republic Broadcasting Network, the story behind the story. You're also on Rents.com. Are you still on Rents?
Yes, I am. That's from 6 to 7 p.m. on Mountain Standard Time.
Okay, and I failed to say that the show on RBN is from 1 to 3 p.m. Central, according to RBN's time.
That's right.
And Eastern Time, that's 2 to 4, or 11 to 1 Pacific. That means it would be noon to 2.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very pleased with the RBN network. I got to tell you, we've been getting some feedback. I guess as the show is going, they have a chance to see who's online and downloading it, and the numbers have just steadily climbed and climbed and climbed. And we're talking worldwide response to it. It's been very heartening. We get typically now stations wanting to play my show on simulcast live on the radios. So that's very, very heartening to see people wake up.
Yes, yes. And we have a big audience growing on this show as well, in great part to the fact that I'm on many of these other networks as well.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Your show including. So anyone that's interested, I'll be on Tuat's show this coming Wednesday on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yeah, and Drew Raines, bless his heart, he does a great job, and he's very fervent about his message as well. And you know, he's had the stripes. He's served well and valiantly, and he has every right to be on his pedestal and soapbox, and support him 100% as well.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Drew, I want to thank you for staying up so late and with the busy schedule that you have and your own practice, as well as I don't even know if that's the right word to use, because you do the real deal. You're not practicing.
Yeah, I told when they arrested me for charges of practicing medicine without a license while I was doing my nutritional counseling work, and I went to my preliminary hearing, Don, and I said, I plead not guilty to practicing medicine, but I do plead guilty to perfecting nutrition. He didn't like that. He thought I was a smart aleck, but it's the truth.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, and look forward to you coming on in November. If you get any important information that you want to share with us at a moment's notice, feel free to let me know, and we can bring you on the show.
Very good. Thank you so much, Don. God bless you.
Okay, you too. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, Windtalkers Radio Network, and BlogTalkRadio.com, and our special guest, Dr. A. True Ott. You can also visit Flu Pandemic Online And there's a wealth of information there to learn anything that you may want to know that you're not going to hear on the mainstream media. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and I want to give a quick shout-out to some friends, Karen, Bob, and Bill, David Crenshaw, Sheila, Sylvia, Zachariah, Jill, the General, and new listener, Val. And appreciate you folks tuning in night after night as well. To all my regular listeners out there, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Michael Anthony. And I wish you a very good night.